Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hi guys, Sarah here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the links to Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, our blog at www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com, or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast while we're all living la vida lockdown. And we've been in lockdown, in and out, ever since. We're still currently in lockdown. Thank you, Sydney. Hashtag.
Thanks, what lockdown's mate. This? 72?
It's been 84 years. actually, ladies and gentlemen, this is lockdown number 5. Dun,
yeah.
Dun,
bom,
dun,
bom, dun, bom, dun, dun. Yes.
I didn't come up with that PS. Of all the things I've come up with our, my lockdown quips, that one I did not come up with myself. That was off the radio. So thanks, that guy. Anyway, we take aim at one topic each week along with a bottle or 5 or 9 of wine, and we try to make some sense of it, and most importantly, each other, because we talk a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I'll kick off with what I'm drinking, and gin, and lots of it. Yeah, because I need it. Yeah. It's okay not to be okay, listeners, okay?
Okay.
I'm never okay.
Yeah.
I'm always okay. When I'm not okay, I'm okay. It's fine. It's fine.
Fine.
Well, I'm drinking Brown Brothers Dolschitter and Syrah.
Because,
you know, it was in my house and I wanted it. So yeah. I opened it.
It is delicious.
It is so delicious. It's just that drink you can just go, doesn't matter what the weather is, it's just go to.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, this week I am drinking my other precious.
Oh, Jesus.
That's Amy's normal voice. Yeah.
Number 4. My... Is that you?
Oh, God. Is it back?
Oh, my God. Get under mate. The table, Bianca.
I need to get under there. Myself in. I'm scared.
It never left me. It pretty much has been running this shit show full time since, I don't know, mid last year. So it's fine. Anyway, I am drinking Wiley Rooster Rosé because, as I said last week, the Wiley Rooster Merlot that I was drinking had finally come back in, and I've also ordered some rosé. So even though it's the middle of winter and it's currently 8 degrees at my house,
yeah,
I just went, no, I'm drinking this for reasons, and I don't care. So,
yeah.
Bianca, tell us, please. I've been waiting for this for so long. What is our topic for tonight?
Well, ladies and listeners, our topic tonight is Trash TV Confessions.
Yay!
Yes, this is our TV intervention. So I just want to start off with a bit of psychology about trash television. Many people have a conflicted relationship with the media they watch. Yeah, in particular, those who think of themselves as cultured tend to have a negative view of certain lowbrow contemporary television shows.
That's me.
It is.
That's me.
Scripted shows like 2 and a Half Men or Rain are described as banal and dumb, while some trashy reality shows like The Bachelorette or Keeping Up with the Kardashians are enjoyed only by hate watching them. Yeah. popularity of trash TV has reshaped the landscape of television. In fact, many TV producers are purposely making bad shows to appeal to a certain type of viewer. Many people find trashy television too offensive to watch, but there are others who keep on consuming, even as they describe the shows as awful, terrible, and just downright bad.
You read my segment, right? That's pretty much what I wrote.
I did actually start reading your segment. How can so many people complain so much about these shows, yet like us, and still watch them?
It's the train wreck. It's the train wreck concept, mate. You just can't look away. I mean, it's horrible, but you cannot look away.
In order to overcome the contradiction of condemning while also consuming, most people, like ourselves, will resort to falling into one of the three next categories or explanations. So first is the guilty pleasure. Many cultured viewers actually feel quite badly about watching trashy television, but yet they can't stop themselves. They feel ashamed and almost unclean after an episode of Bridgerton or The Bachelor, but they can't help it. You feel a little dirty in a way. I'm like, oh my God, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I choosing to sit here and watch when it's just ridiculous? I feel terrible about myself. I'm like, I've wasted 20 minutes here just watching America's Next Top Model. And you know, I resolve to never do it again. But I do. I watch it again and again. And every season since.
And then I binge watch it when it comes on Netflix.
Yes. So just one episode, I say. Or it's been such a long day and my job is so demanding. It's okay if I indulge in a little mindless crap at the end of the day. You know? And look, some people claim it's simply out of their control. Like being unable to look away from the car crash. Yeah. One university professor described why he watches Judge Judy like this. There is an element here of being freaked out by something. Just watching it is almost like watching a car wreck. You drive along the highway and you see a car smashed up. You slow down. It's the same kind of thing.
And you don't slow down because it's the right thing to do either. You slow down because you want to have a little look-see. Don't justify it.
It's very much true.
Did we lose Bianca?
I'm over here talking and everybody's talking on top of me. And then have we lost her? Oh, fuck.
Anybody listening to me? You know, that happened to me one episode for like 20 minutes. I literally thought you guys were ignoring me because I was being an idiot. And I was. So I felt like it was justified. Then I realized my mute button was on. Whoopsie.
I muted myself to cough and then unmute. We'll see. So, yes, the second type of person or,
viewer, is
ironic consumption. So ironic consumers or hipster viewers think that the shows that they watch are really bad, but they still enjoy them. They derive great pleasure from making fun of a terrible show. To them, trashy television is, as the saying goes, it's so bad, it's good. So these viewers tend to watch trashy television from an emotional distance. They don't really feel connected to any of the characters or care about their fates at all. They're just there for the laughs. Yep. Watching with this perspective allows them to feel superior to the show and its conventional viewers. A 28-year-old teacher who enjoys watching Hoarders stated, it depicts such a bad scenario, but it is pleasurable to watch because it makes you feel better about yourself. A person will think, thank God I'm not like that. In a way, by watching trashy TV from a position of superiority, ironic consumers can reaffirm their own self-perception of being cultured. I like it. Yeah. And the third place that people fall into is a camp sensibility. Audience who view these shows as camp have a more complex reasoning behind their reasons for watching. So, and Susan Sontag, who was, if you don't know who that is, she was an American writer, filmmaker, philosopher, teacher, and political activist. She mostly wrote essays, but published some novels and some movies and stuff. She described camp sensibility as enjoying a cultural object that is so extravagant and exaggerated that it achieves a certain kind of failed seriousness. Those with camp sensibility don't feel guilty, nor do they revel in the trashiness of bad television. Rather, these connoisseurs of bad culture have a strange kind of admiration, almost reverence, for really awful cultural products. As Sontag observed, camp is a tender feeling. One graduate student compared his enjoyment of 1980s B-movies to honouring an embarrassing cultural moment. It's sort of a celebration of our failure. Like, I can't believe someone spent so much time on this and it's so bad. And maybe that's it, celebrating our failings. Whereas ironic consumers feel a part and above the cultural object. A camp sensibility allows a viewer to identify with the creators of the movie or television show. They admire the vision of the producers and rejoice in its ultimately disastrous outcome. And that is how I feel about all those bad movies that Sarah and I watch. Like, it's so
definitely
bad.
They somebody are so spent, bad.
Yeah, somebody spent so much time on them. Why not what celebrate?
Effort, money. Oh, they purposely went out and created something so terrible, yet it's so entertaining at the same time.
Exactly.
Celebrate that stuff.
No.
I love it.
No. I am definitely a hybrid of a guilty pleasure viewer and an ironic consumption viewer. Absolutely. Yeah. There are some parts of guilty pleasure that I feel, but then there's a bit of ironic consumption I also sort of understand.
I'm sorry. I do believe Amy enjoyed Sand Sharks.
Was that the one with the dude that was in?
No, it wasn't Sand Sharks. That was
The Sand.
The sand. And the sand
had
like poison.
Yeah.
The sand is lava.
Yeah. No, the sand was alien.
The sand was monsters.
Yeah, there was alien thing.
And then there was that dude that was from Hannah Montana and he got kicked out because he was a teenager, he was drunk and he drove a car. Yeah, that guy.
Recall Amy enjoying that movie quite a lot.
That was funny. The next one you made me watch about that stupid hybrid fucking Nazi shark shit. I don't know what the fuck that was. That was terrible. I regret every
shark
moment.
Oh, yes. That where was... they put Hitler's brain inside the shark.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was brilliant too.
And that was great. And it was not. It was terrible. You wasted my life. Thank Christ I was drunk.
So, listeners, yes, as you can tell, we actually live in a complicated culture. where we no longer take any of these media products at face value. We just don't.
No.
Yeah, we make aesthetic and moral judgments about TV shows. Like, that was awful. This is trash. But we keep watching. So, conflicted, we want to have it both ways. We try to hold on to the idea that we really do have good taste, even as we consume television we judge to be terrible.
And that's kind of like the people that listen to this podcast in a way. I mean, they'd start off thinking, yes, these girls take on topics, and yes, I can inform myself of things.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just three over-the-hill trash bags getting drunk and talking rubbish. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They take offense to Over the Hill.
Get over the hill, Sarah. Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm halfway up there.
She's only 25. Come on.
Fuel her delusions.
Fuel them, Bianca.
Fuel them forever. Because it's just going to get hilarious when we're in a nursing home. She's 25.
That's right.
And I was sitting there like Jim from The Office, just staring at the camera like, fucking what?
Oh, we definitely need a camera crew.
Oh, fuck.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
Trash TV, here we come.
Yeah, exactly.
Behind a limo and a helicopter, we need those things too. And a bus. Yeah. In a bus.
Yes.
With a giant shoe.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. Okay. Back on tangent.
And yes, like I said at the beginning, not surprisingly, television producers have caught on to this idea. And now bad shows are expressly produced for connoisseurs of trashy television. Shows like 16 and Pregnant, Jersey Shore, True Blood can specifically be consumed as guilty pleasure, ironically, or with camp sensibility.
Oh, with a mix of all three.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So now, without further ado, I will offload my trash. Beep, beep, beep. I am a dump truck.
You're not a shit truck, though. That's me.
No, yeah. No, I couldn't take shit truck. Sorry. No, that is definitely Amy. First, I'm going to start with that procedural crime of medical dramas. Oh, wow. Are these trashy? But for me, there's something so comforting about the way the shows are set out. So for every episode, there's a hook, a lead up, and a resolution, unless it's a two-parter. Thank goodness for streaming services. I don't have to wait for part two anymore. All my life has changed.
Oh, waiting that whole week was a killer. Yes. I don't watch anything on a streaming service that is released week to week. No, I wait for the whole thing to come out and then I binge it.
Exactly. That's me and Loki. I was like, no, no waiting.
Oh, yes.
No.
No waiting for that one.
No. I'm not doing the waiting. This is 2021, people. Come on. I'm not waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I thought I did that with Snowpiercer. I thought, yep, every episode's out for like season two. Because I binged all of season one at once. Then season two, I thought, yep, it's all out. I'll watch it. There was two episodes left. I was like, oh, fuck me. I still haven't finished it because I was like, oh, I've got to wait like another 2 weeks. No, it's been months and I have not gone back to it because I couldn't watch it all at once.
I can't remember if I finished the series so far.
No spoilers. Yeah, no spoilers.
Oh, yeah. This show that I absolutely had to watch, I don't know what you're doing with your life, Amy, if you're not watching this show. These guys haven't even finished it. So, yeah, I think I'll reserve my judgment.
All right. Look, like, let's get back on tangent to my faves, okay? So my faves in the crime category are most definitely SVU and Criminal Minds. Yeah. Chong. I love it. I think I really love the, like, you've got each episode is different, has, you know, different murderer or rapist or whatever. But then there's the stories of everybody in it. I just love it. I follow their lives. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I couldn't get past with, like, these, I also love these crime category and, like, Criminal Minds and all that sort of stuff. I could not get past this this lot of evidence that you could just throw in at the last minute. Until we had our very special episode with Jeff, and he was explaining, Jeff Deskovic, that's for people who haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to that episode. It's amazing. He was saying that it's an actual part of the legal system in America where you could just throw evidence in at the last minute. You can't do that in Australia. So I used to watch these thinking, that's lies. That's drama. It's not. It's actually right. So some of these procedurals are actually very, very, very close to how the legal system is run. It's incredible.
Yeah. And then you got real fantasy by the ones in my medical category, like House and Grey's Anatomy. Nope, nothing about that. Anywhere near to real life at all.
The only one I ever got into was Chicago Hope. I loved that. I used to watch it with my dad. Oh my god, I loved it.
Yeah, that's one I haven't watched. I didn't get into that one, but House, Grey's Anatomy,
yep.
No, didn't watch any of them. Chicago Hope was more about experimental stuff, like reattaching people's hands. It was cool.
So that's my first little bit that I wanted to get out. And, yes, secondly, I have a big love for reality TV. And I know Amy's going to touch on a bit of reality TV as well. So I specifically haven't mentioned anything that she's going to. And I love hers as well.
I hate these ones. I hate them so much.
You hate all these. I'm going to rattle them off. Jackass. Dudesons, Daddy Sanchez, Wild Boys, Viva La Bam, Bam's Unholy Union. I, in fact, was so obsessed with Bam that I actually found his house in Google Maps. I mean, like, listeners, it's actually not too hard. It's built like a castle, and he painted his driveway rainbow. It's the only one like it in America. It's not hard. P.S. is in Pennsylvania.
There's got to be millions of people in Pennsylvania, mate. Like, yeah. How long did you spend doing that?
It's not hard because he's grown up in Westchester and he still lives outside of Westchester. There's only one Westchester in Pennsylvania.
That's still like 5 or 6 hours of time that I'm not prepared to spend on these people.
Still kind of stalkerish.
Yeah. It was on my list of things I wanted to go see on my American road trip. Yeah.
I'm out for that day. I'm going to see something else.
Yeah.
It's not on there anymore. I am so done with it. Bam needs help. Anyway. Lastly, my hidden little trashy gem that not many people would know about. I just wanted to bring to you, listeners, is Son of a Beach. I got hooked on this show when my daughter was teething and up all night. Like, I was watching TV, and Son of a Beach just on the Comedy Channel just hooked me in. So for those who don't know, it is an American sitcom that aired from 2000 to 2002, and it was on FX over there and Comedy Channel in Australia. The series is a spoof of Baywatch, with much of the comedy based on sexual double entendres, puns, and innuendo. I love all of that. It just...
Same. That sounds amazing. Yeah. I love that.
The show is centered on the adventures of Shore Patrol Force 30, SPF 30. Yep. Pun on the term sun protection factor. Yep.
But were we only up to 30? What are we up to now, like 60 or 45 50. Or something?
50. There you go. 50 in Australia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Because we need that shit.
Oh, yes. That's because the ozone layer is much larger here than it is in other parts of the world. Because
The hole.
Yeah, the hole. Yeah.
Not the ozone layer.
Sarah and I sitting there going, oh.
It's the hole. I know this because I go outside and I burn.
So does next week. Calm down.
Into another episode where Sarah and I discuss the crapulence that is having a fucking A-type skin. Is it skin type 1 or something like that?
It's called being albino.
Yeah, real white burns like fuck.
This is why I'm jealous of anyone with any form of colour to them. Because being white sucks.
Yeah, I may have some mixed race in my background because, yeah, I tan like I was born in Jamaica. I don't know.
Sarah and I are sitting under the umbrella with basically a fucking snowsuit on going, I think I'm getting burnt. Am I getting burnt? Yeah, you look a bit red.
Yeah.
It's so funny, though. I do get burnt and I do go red, as we've all seen. Oh, mate, when I wore that fucking dress that had love hearts and I took the dress off and I had these white love hearts all over my chest. Oh, that was a sad day. They were there for so long.
Yeah, but then they went brown, whereas that would have happened to me and Sarah, and then it just would have gone to this off-white colour.
Yeah, but it went brown with freaking white love hearts all over my chest, like a Dalmatian, like an albino Dalmatian, like the opposite.
Like a new type of tattoo. Yeah, just think of it that way.
Ridiculous. Anyway.
Funny, though.
Back to Son of a Beach. So the team is led by the pasty, out-of-shape, clueless lifeguard, Notch Johnson, played by Timothy Stack. The rest of his patrol consists of BJ Cummings, who's the innocent, big-chested, blonde lifeguard, Jamaica St. Croix, the ghetto-raised, big-chested, mixed-race lifeguard, Chip Rommel, the dumb, hunky, muscular male lifeguard, who is obviously a parody of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Kimberly Clark, the smart but flat-chested female lifeguard and straight man of the series. Many of the plots revolved around silly action genre cliches and movie parodies, with many of the feature roles played by actors and celebrities, such as John Alexander, Mark Hamill, Alan Thicke, Eric Estrada, Gary Coleman, John Sally, Joey Buttafuoco, Patty Hearst, Adam Carolla, Hank the Angry Drunken Dwarf, George Takei, Gilbert Gottfried, Walter Koenig, Pat Morita, Anson Williams, Christopher Darden, Maureen McCormick, Lee Majors, David Arquette, Neil Patrick Harris, Maseda Vanda, Angela Bridges, Ian Ziering, RuPaul, and Dweezil Zappa. Like, even Dweezil Zappa got in on this fucking show. And it was produced by Howard Stern. They all had a little part to play, and usually it was something to do with their sort of background too. And, so it's just great. Everybody sort of played their part very well. The title is a pun on the phrase son of a bitch, if you didn't realize that already.
No.
Likewise, I know. Whoa. Look, I don't know our listeners.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Likewise, the character names are rife with puns and innuendo. So a recurring character is Porcelain Bidet. And BJ Cummings. Obviously. And Jamaica St. Croix is Jamaica St. Croix. Yeah. And Notch Johnson, or refer to some sort of double entendre. Chip Rommel, however, his name refers to the Desert Fox, which further punctuates the fact that the character is German. His parents being the Rommels of Paraguay. And at, South America was actually a refuge for hunted Nazis at the end of World War II. So that one actually has a lot of back, like the thought went into it. It's amazing for such a shit trashy show. Notch and BJ are also parodies of the names of the Baywatch characters played by David Hasselhoff and Pamela Anderson, Mitch and CJ. And Kimberly Clark's name is a pun on the company Kimberly Clark, the manufacturer of paper products, such as Kleenex and Kotex. Yeah. And look, it only went for 3 seasons and was cancelled due to Jamie Bergman's pregnancy during the 3rd season. FX wanted another thin woman to play the lifeguard in order to keep male viewers, but apparently it's not like it's just all rumours, but apparently Jamie didn't want to be cast out. And she shouldn't have to just for having a kid. But anyway, I felt that the writing was really clever and it made me laugh. I could have just been fucking sleep deprived and delusional. Who knows?
You could have been out your damn mind.
Yeah. Going with that.
A kid that was teething and you're watching TV shows at like 2 a.m. on Foxtel. Yeah. You're out your damn mind.
Yeah.
I know. I've been there.
Yeah. My favorite episode, it sticks in my mind still to this day, and I still laugh when I think about it, is the Gay Tricks episode. And it's season 3, episode 6, and it's actually titled The Gay Team. It's a great, absolutely great mixture of the A-Team and the Matrix, and that's the one that stars RuPaul. And RuPaul plays an Agent Smith character. Oh. And he's going, welcome to the Gay Tricks.
I love the other call.
The other character's like, I don't know any gay tricks. I fucking love it. I don't know any gay tricks.
Yeah. You do. You've seen that movie. It's fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is so funny the whole way through. Just laugh at every single pun. There's also a recurring character. I can't remember the actress that plays her, but the character's name is Alan, and it has blonde short hair. yeah. So good. So funny. And that's my hidden little trashy gem that I still love to this day. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can watch episodes on YouTube.
Yeah. Nice. Yes.
Yeah. So, Amy, what are you going to offload, you shit truck, you?
Yeah. See, this is the problem. I want to get something really straight with you guys. I'm a logical person of normal / low intelligence sometimes. And I normally hate trash TV. Hate it. Hate it so much. I don't spend a lot of time watching TV. I never really have been a massive TV or movie watcher. So if I sit down and watch something, if it doesn't grab me, I'm out and I hate it. So trash TV has never been appealing to me because you have to usually watch a couple of episodes for it to wear you down to the point where you're like, okay, I'm in. I don't have time. So anyway, however, over the years, there has been a few exceptions to this rule. Tonight, I'm going to tell you about three, which I'm sort of ashamed to say that I really enjoy. Yeah. Okay, so the first one is a daytime soap called Passions. Do you guys remember this one? Sarah and I used to watch this when we were at uni. Yeah, we come home from uni, be like 3 o'clock, just like, ooh, Passions is on.
I remember calling and talking to you like, oh, my God, did you see what happened?
Timmy's down that damn well again.
Hey, fucking Timmy.
Fucking Timmy. What drew me in was the fact that, like, I was flicking channels one day after uni, and this show I just stumbled across, and it was just utterly bizarre. Like, I you could clearly tell it was a soap, but it wasn't like your regular soaps. No, it had, like, a supernatural undertone. And I think the specific scene was actually when the town witch, yes, there's a town witch, she has a doll. And yeah, it's a doll. And she walks around and she, like, talks to it and stuff like that. And everyone's just like, oh, she lost her son and this is how she's coping and it's fine. No, she's a witch and the doll actually comes to life. Well, Timmy is the doll. He'd fallen down a well. And she's screaming for people to help her that Timmy had fallen down this well. And I couldn't quite wrap my head around what the fuck was going on because she would be talking to him and he would be like going, help me, help me, help me. And it was this kid. Like it was like this thing down there and it was like a real life thing. And then people would be like, oh, help you, Tabitha. And then there'd just be this like doll floating in the well. And I'm just like, wait, what the fuck? Is it real or is it not? So I was hooked. After that point, I was just like, I need to fucking know what's going on. So this show is set in a town called Harmony, and it follows the lives, loves, and paranormal activities and adventures of the residents of Harmony. Now, this show commenced in 1999 and finished in 2007 after 9 seasons. Nine seasons the show went for.
I don't remember watching it that long, but sure.
Neither did I. I actually stopped watching after about 2006 when I got my first big girl job, and then it was about a year or two before I went back to uni. So I couldn't watch it because it had gone from being on in the afternoons to on first thing in the morning. So, yeah, I stopped watching after about 4 years. Some of the good things about the show that were not trash were the interracial couples and having openly gay characters, when these are the sorts of things that, even though it sounds like it wasn't that long ago, these things were actually really quite uncommon for the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things that it really sticks in my mind that I just barely remember that time. I don't really remember where there wasn't just like normal people doing normal things, gay, straight, whatever it is, it not being represented in TV, whereas it actually wasn't really that long ago. So, yeah, I liked Passions for that reason. Now, the show was able to run for so long because they didn't bother writing characters out when they wanted to leave the show. So when the actors said, hey, I've got a bigger deal coming my way because I've been on the show, they didn't bother writing them out. Oh, no. They just recast the character. So I remember jumping back in after being out for a little bit and then recognizing two of the characters. But I recognized all the names. I knew exactly who everybody was by their names. I'm just like, wait, what? And I actually looked up some of these characters in Wikipedia, and it's like, yeah, this character, number three. I was like, oh my God. It's terrible. So fucking terrible. But yeah, I mean, Passions was just one of those daytime soaps that it sort of drew me in because it was just utterly fucking batshit most of the time. It was just batshit. So yeah, very, very interesting concepts. I wasn't going to write this in, but I'm going to say it because I've had one now. So yeah. So when I was researching this, I flicked through on YouTube the very last episode of Passions just to see.
Just to catch up. Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible because I really hated the fact that Teresa and Ethan were together. I hated it so much because she was just as bad as the bad characters. I just don't understand why nobody else saw it. But anyway, yeah, it was Ethan, Teresa's wedding. Yeah, I think we're on to Ethan number five by that stage. I don't know. And, yeah, and there was just all this stuff that happened. And then, like, all the characters, like, sitting in the pews and stuff like that, and all the ones that were, like, trying to get together and then they couldn't get together, they were all together. And then, like, five people have announced that they're pregnant as she's walking down the aisle. I'm just like, oh, my God. And then Teresa's talking to the camera because they break the third wall, the fourth wall, whatever it's called.
Yeah, fourth.
Yeah. Yeah, so they break that and she's like, see, if you really, really try for hard at long enough, you will get your happy ending too. And I'm just like, what was I doing with my life? Oh, my God, what was wrong with me? Why have I watched this show?
Sweet Jesus.
Guys.
That'd make you glad you didn't get to the end, but kind of like I wish I had got through it all.
Well, I really, really wanted to know when, because Luis is the same all the way through. Luis is saying to some chick that he's standing next to as Teresa's coming down the aisle, he's saying, oh, I love you, and he doesn't say her name. And then she's like, oh, I can't wait to make you the father of my children. It's happening right now. And I'm like, is that Sheridan or not? Didn't she die? What happened? So I feel... I probably need to go.
Oh, yes, I right love now. That. That show, you could die and come back. Oh, boy, that was great.
I'm pretty sure Sheridan died six times, but anyway.
Oh, God.
Anyway. So next time we get together, we're definitely going to watch the last episode of Passions. The next one on my list was, this one was one that I fell into a bit of a trap with, and it was very much along the same lines as Bianca was talking about with Son of the Beach. This one I fell into because I had a newborn baby and my brain was mush. I don't know what I was doing most of the time. So the next show I want to talk to you about is called Toddlers and Tiaras.
I was obsessed too. I was obsessed from the beginning.
Oh, yep. My God.
I'd watch it.
I know, yeah. Sarah. I'm usually with you. I get it. It's just my brain was mush, okay? Oh,
no, I watched it for pure pleasure.
Yeah, look.
No, it's because I'm so glad that my child wasn't like any of these children.
Yeah, it's train wreck television, as we discussed, and that's what it was. Yeah, I know. My brain was mush.
It's not the kids' fault, it's the parents.
Oh, it was.
Oh, no. Mackenzie, it was the devil spawn from hell. I still remember that kid. Oh, God. So, yeah, keep going.
So I often got into this show when I was breastfeeding my newborn daughter, and there are so many hours that are wasted of your – well, I say wasted of your life breastfeeding your newborn. That's not true. It's actually the best thing that you could give your child. However, in terms of the shit that you need to do to get through your day, yes, you've got to sit there and there is nothing else you can do. So watching trash TV where your brain's half empty, this is what you do. While you're breastfeeding, this is what you do.
I read a book. Yeah, I read books.
You guys could concentrate on books? Oh, my God.
No. I read so many books.
I watched a lot of Game of Thrones, a lot of Toddlers and Tiaras, and many other trash TV things I'll get into. Anyway, so Toddlers and Tiaras is an American TV reality show that commenced in 2009 and finished in 2013. It was cancelled because apparently there was way too much controversy around the show. The show follows the personal lives of families of pageant contestants in child beauty pageants. Does anyone want to take a random stab at why this was cancelled? Go on. Just take a random stab. By that, it might be obvious. I don't know. Yeah. This show is trash. Most of the people on this show, trash.
Yeah, it's where, was it? Oh, you're going to mention it. I'll leave it. It's going to say Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I'll get there.
I'm getting there. Because, yeah, they're in the same pageant sort of age group as Mackenzie.
I'm getting there. Most of the people were trash. It's utter train wreck television, and for some reason I just could not look away.
Oh, yeah.
The show led to a few spin-offs, one notably called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, which I also watched, and it followed the life of the contestant on Toddlers and Tiaras and her family's lives when they were not doing pageants. Now, this show was also utter trash, and I'll also put out there that that show was cancelled on the basis that Honey Boo Boo's mum married a guy, and his name was Sugar Bear on the show. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Mm. And then she divorced him and then ended up going out with or dating a sex offender. So they had to cancel that real quick. Yeah.
I don't even know how she got her own show.
And if you want to go even further, it goes to about the mother. I think it was a show later on, and it was Mama June from Not to Hot. Now she's a crack at it, and that poor kid, Alana, I think her name is, Honey Boo Boo, she now lives with one of her sisters. It's a train wreck. Anyway, we're not going down that path because that's real sad. I did get some really good pointers about how not to parent from this show. So it was a complete waste of time. And also, we also send so many gifts of all of those kids.
Oh, yeah.
And they're flying around the internet right now. You look at Facebook, you look at Skype, you look at anything, and you look up a GIF, there is always a Toddlers and Tiaras kid in there. Always. And it's hilarious. So, I mean, it wasn't a complete waste of time. The last show I want to talk to you about is still one of my favorites. I actually fucking love this show. I don't know why. And it's called Extreme Couponing. This is trash TV at its best. The show first aired in 2010, and after five seasons, it actually ended in 2012. So even though it only ran for 2 years, there was five seasons in that. So if you're not familiar with this show, which most people aren't, it basically follows two real-life people through the planning stage and shopping trip that they are doing using an excessive amount of coupons.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually got both Sarah and Bianca's children kind of addicted to this show when they stayed with me over the summer. In America, coupons are very popular. They're not as popular here, and they don't represent massive savings here like they do in America. People can spend hours clipping coupons or printing them from online circulars just to save money on their shopping trip. The episodes are always the same. I'm blah, 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 and I'm the coupon queen, princess, village idiot of couponing.
Okay, Vlad.
It's always a self-made title. Obviously, they don't use village idiot. That's what I use. Anyway.
That is Amy's title, in fact.
My name's Amy, and I'm the village idiot of Friday Night Wine Fight. Yeah. Yes, that is my title. The person then usually takes you through their stunt pile. This is my stunt pile. And these are items that they show that they got completely free. Completely free. Completely free.
Yeah.
And then they show the person dumpster diving for coupons or making their kids work for hours clipping coupons. Something that's really embarrassing that most people want to be seen doing on TV. But they do it.
I do love most of them. Most of those women are so super organized. I love it when they bring out a binder and each coupon has its own little spot in this binder of sleeves. And I'm just like, wow. Oh, the organization. I need to fan myself.
I feel like it's actually a form of OCD porn.
Yeah.
I think that's what actually gets me in. And you know what, Bianca, just for you, next time you come over, when you're allowed to come over, I saw a lady with a laptop.
Ooh.
She had it all done in a spreadsheet.
Ooh. Oh, she warned me first.
Talk dirty to me, darling.
I feel uncomfortable listening to this conversation.
Talk dirty to me. Yeah. They then show the people at the supermarket buying shitloads of stuff using coupons. The scene at the checkout is always intense because sometimes the troops don't really work out the way that they had planned because the register will jam. You can only have so many coupons per transaction, or somebody didn't do their calculations right. There's also like a limit. So sometimes you have to like buy, I don't know, like it's like 20 coupons per transaction. So they're like breaking up their shopping trips into like 47 transactions.
Yeah.
And they
do. Oh my God.
Sometimes they find out about this like at the register.
Yeah.
But then they disappear and then they work it out on the fly. And I'm just like,
that, I can't believe
I just
like
would
they're
have
saying
abandoned
it.
All hope and left everything.
And it's like a full time job. Like, I mean, they go in and it's like 5 to 7 hours in the store. Like, I can't even. Yeah. I can't shop for that long. I can't shop for that long. In the one store.
Nah. And even with a list, I know. I think out of madness, like, people buying thousands of dollars worth of goods over, like, 25 transactions for $9. It sounds insane. It sounds utterly insane. But I mean, the show's only half an hour, so, I mean, it's pretty good because they actually go through a lot of the major purchases, and they break it down, and they've got this coupon, and this does this, and this does that, and then this is the main price, and then they break it down mathematically, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, show me how it's done. I love it.
And then some of it's good, too. Like, they get out. And they're just like, so, yes, I did get 40 bottles of Gatorade, but I'm donating them to the local football club. I was like, oh.
Yeah, and, like, there was a woman that I watched the other night because, well, I may have accidentally drunk a whole bottle of wine and I was sitting there by myself, which is, like, fairly normal in my house.
Yeah, I was isn't that, like, Tuesday?
Yeah, that's a casual Tuesday in my house. Anyway, I was sitting there watching it and there was this lady going through and she was saying that she was actually donating the $1,000 worth of goods that she was getting for $6. She was actually donating it to her local homeless shelter. And she was in a Kmart. So in Kmart in Australia, that's not food goods really. It's not like a shopping, like it's not like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, supermarket or anything like that. No. Kmart in America is actually both. It's like our Kmart plus Coles together.
So yeah,
She got clothes and she got food and she was donating it to her local homeless shelter. And I thought that was really cute. So anyway, yeah, look, their show is trash, utter trash. But still, to this day, I watch all the reruns. And what can I say? I'm utter trash too. Amy out.
Yeah. Shit truck out.
I'm back in my shit truck out. I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, that leaves me. I don't watch trash TV. I watch quality TV. Just
when
it
we discussed this topic, Sarah said, but I don't watch trash.
Yeah.
And Bianca and I are like, sorry, what? Oh, you watch is trash, but okay, sure.
My Korean dramas and anime are quality television.
If they were in English, mate, you would call them trash and you would condemn both of us for watching them.
No, I would love it if they were in English and I wouldn't have to read subtitles.
No, you would be like, they're out of trash, I'm not watching them.
Same actors, just in English, I would love it. Anyway, so had a thought about it. I think.
I had a thought, and that thought was I should think about this a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you knew some.
No, I knew something. I decided to do Most Haunted.
I love this show.
I watch
too much TV.
Watch this. So tell me about it, Sarah.
So Most Haunted is a British ghost hunting reality series that started back in 2002 and ran until 2019. I'm pretty sure, I think it ran until 2019 on TV, but is still going on their YouTube channel.
Are they still going?
Yeah.
I need to find this.
But you need to buy, you need to be subscribed to fucking YouTube. And
I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
I'm not in. If you're a ghost hunter and you're not Bill Murray, I'm not in. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
Who are you going to call?
It is mainly set in Britain, but they have done a couple of episodes, I believe, through it. So,
they went through. They went to not just Britain. They went to Ireland as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, when I say Britain, no.
You mean the whole, like...
I mean the whole
UK.
The whole UK. And
Ireland.
Because I think of Britain, I just think of England.
No,
Britain is, like, you know, England, Scotland. But, yeah.
It's all that place that's
just
drifting
that,
off,
all that place
off Europe.
There.
Yeah, it's just drifting off Europe. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So, all that area. So, that's where they mainly... Focus.
Yeah.
Sarah, do the same. Focus. My wine is nearly gone. I like being at the end. So now for the creators. So they are Yvette Fielding and Car Betty. I don't know how to say his last name.
Beatty. Yeah.
I did look it up and then I went,
That's right. I don't care.
Yeah. And Carl.
Yeah.
Look, if you don't know Carl by now, just.
Yeah, it's just Carl. It's fine.
Just Carl.
Fucking Carl.
So,
no, Carl's all right. Carl's
and
all right.
And those, and I know it's ringing a bell for Bianca. So she's like, yeah, I know Carl. He's great.
Yeah.
So for those who have actually watched the show, Yvette Fielding not only helped create it, but she is also the host and narrator.
Yes.
And Carl is the director and also one of the cameramen.
Yeah.
Sounds like a quality show. Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, it really is.
It really is. And don't forget Stuart, who I found out is in fact Yvette's cousin.
I did not know that.
Neither did I until recently.
Oh.
So they have had so many cast and crew members over the time. There was a huge list, like massive list. So many. So the show ran for roughly 24 seasons with around 300 episodes, including the shorts and specials. And there was the spin-off with Carl and Stuart. Can't remember what the name of that was, though. And I couldn't be bothered looking for it. So they've had so many different psychic mediums, parapsychologists, paranormal investigators, and even a psychic artist.
Oh, yes.
On
yes,
the show.
Did. I remember that. Yeah. But they had her. Was it her? Did they have two of them?
No, I'm pretty sure it was a girl. Woman.
Yeah, okay. I remember a woman. She's been on a couple of episodes.
Yeah. But the one that's best known is,
you know,
Derek Acora.
Fucking.
Who was in the first, he was in the first, I think, four seasons of the show.
Yes. Yes.
Where he was so entertaining.
He was real entertaining.
He was the most entertaining, but the most inaccurate.
Yes.
So he was bullshit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll go into that later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll wait for you. Oh, you can explain it. It's your bit. It's your bit. I'm going to take it over. Shh.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I will explain it later on during my dot points.
Get in my cage.
So, I really want to rant, so put me in a cage.
Get her in my cage.
Do not rant about Derek.
Yeah.
He was the reason why I watched this show. So they had many, many different mediums on.
Yeah.
They also had a couple of skeptics on just to bring everyone back down to earth. Like,
Oh, not, yeah. Yeah, they did.
It's dust. It's not a ghost.
Yeah.
It's me.
It's guys, a moth. Guys. It's not moth. A ghost.
It's a moth.
Like that episode where the moth flew into Yvette's face and she screamed like, oh, no, no, something's touching me. And then they played it back and it was a moth.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I loved it.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. It's just another member of the crew. It's not a ghost.
Oh, yeah. Like when they're in like a house that's always like U-shaped and they're like, what is that over there? What is that over there? Yeah, it's just another fucking crew member.
Yeah.
Dude, that was. Yeah. What is that sound? Yeah, it's the crew member below you because the floors are thin.
Yeah. Or above you.
Yeah.
Or at the other end of the hall because sound travels.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What is that? It's okay, I just farted. It's fine.
I tripped. I'm sorry.
So in the first couple of seasons, Yvette was shocking. For the amount of times she would scream for something that would turn out to be nothing. She would also cry over the thought of going into any dark room or basement. The basement, which, I
honestly,
can understand.
Honestly, fucking same. Like, every time I was like, I feel you, girl. I do not do the dark.
I can go into a room, but the basements, I just feel like being underground. It's more of a trapped feeling. I can understand that.
Oh, but no. I have a light on. I can't have darkness.
Oh, no. Throwing me in there when it's dark and you keep telling me it's haunted and there's some, like, crazy ghost in there that's going to kill me. I'm fine. Because come at me, like, and that's my whole thing. And I actually do believe in ghosts, or I believe in a spirit entity. I just don't think that they're any match for this shit truck. So, come at me. I'm corporeal and you aren't. Eat dicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So throw me in the basement, in the dark basement. I'm paying. Yeah, just throw me in.
I love it. And then, like, the guys would go down there into the basement and they'll be sitting in the dark for, like, 5 minutes and then they'd hear a noise and then they'll be like, no, I can't do this.
Oh, the guys getting scared. I love it. Stuart and Carl. It's like, no, what was that?
I'm out. Can't help. Oh, my God.
Just like, guys, I'm out. I'm gone. Oh, my God, what happened to you? I ran out of snacks. And my wine glass is empty, so I'm out.
Well, I watched this show for a few reasons. One being the supernatural, because, you know, I love the supernatural.
Yep.
I also love seeing the different places that they go to.
Oh, yes.
So, and some of these places, like the hotels and B&Bs, you can seriously go to and stay in those rooms that they investigate. Mm. So, but... the main reason I really watched this show in the beginning was for Derek Acora, because he was so entertaining.
He was entertaining. He was
so entertaining.
And I totally believed everything he said because I watched it pre a time. So, and I totally believed it the whole time. Yeah. I was sucked in, and he was an amazing medium. And I even watched his fucking spin-off show.
With his little friend, Sam.
Yeah.
Ethiopian. Yep. He was Ethiopian.
Yeah.
Sam was an Ethiopian who was his spirit guide.
Yep.
So I'm just going to tell you some
I'm sorry. I have a very little patience for this sort of stuff. How were you guys taken in by that? Like, I mean, that has red flags all over it. Seriously. Really?
An Ethiopian named Sam? Yeah, I know.
Look, no, he was real convincing, mate.
Yeah. I'm just going to go through a few episode pointers that I found most entertaining.
All right, I'm going to try and shut up all the way to the end. See how I go.
Yeah. Let's see how you go, Amy. Barry loves dick.
Same.
Yeah. Didn't do very well, did you? So. I like when I start with these
ones. I giggled. That was not an interruption. That was an interruption.
Mary loves dick.
Yeah.
So Derek gets a message from a couple of spirits.
Yeah.
So this was actually an episode that was live. This was a live episode. It was a New Year's show about Dick Turpin. Like, trying to find out who Dick Turpin was. Yeah. So, yeah. They got the message from one of the spirits, and it said, Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick. She's got this great love for Dick. She covers him up. Yeah, she's covering him up to protect him. He also got the message that Betty also loves Dick.
She does.
Yeah.
Just lost her fucking brooch, but we won't go there.
Betty also lost her fucking brooch. Betty and her brooch. So, yeah, when you watch the clips to this, you can see Yvette moving her hands up to her face, covering her mouth. And I love it because if you watch carefully, you can see it. She's trying not to fucking laugh. Like, she loves Dick. Same. You can fully see it in her fucking face. She's like, Dick. But funny thing, it turns out Dick Turpin's mother. That was her name, Mary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, score one.
Derek could have known that prehand. Like, I'm not even yoni. Yeah.
Score one for Derek.
No.
We're saying this is. I haven't finished Bianca, so score one for Derek.
Shutting up.
So, there was another episode where the Lafferty Inn.
Yes.
Yes. So Derek held a human skull and said he had connected with the spirit of the person it once belonged to, a woman called Sally, who died in the 17th century. He claimed
17th century.
Yeah. Did you not hear my pause? And my son, God, Sarah, you're a fuckwit. Learn to read. So she died in the 17th century. He claimed she was murdered by a man named Theo.
Yeah.
Who he said lived in the 18th century. However, the most haunted producers revealed that thanks to carbon dating, we know the skull is actually from the Viking era, between the 9th and 12th century. So this means Sally was well over 600 years old when she was killed. Incredibly, her murderer wasn't even born when he took her life.
Geez, that bitch had some innings. Like, I know they bred Vikings body, but wow. Yeah. Wow.
And this dude, seriously dedicated to the craft of murder, he wasn't even alive when they did it.
He wasn't even born yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Eric's real good at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.
My last point explains all of it. So, wow, that's great. I fucking don't even know what the hell that word is.
Then when he canals a spirit.
Yeah, what the fuck does canals mean?
I don't know, mate. I know what canals mean, but it doesn't mean what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's a canal. A canal's are waterways. So it's canals. That's what canals.
When he was multiple canals.
Channels.
Yes, I got it. I got that for you, Sarah. Channels spirit. Yeah.
I don't even know how the fuck that happens.
Congratulations, Bianca. Yep. You now speak Sarah.
Sarah can't even speak Sarah.
All right, Derek Ackerman at my best. I could. and it turns out I'm better than him. So
yeah.
Come at me.
So yeah, when
the gin talking.
Yeah, it could be the gin talking. So,
yeah.
Season 4, I found the season for this one. Season 4, Manor House Hotel.
Yep.
He channels a spirit after Yvette calls the spirit a coward.
I remember this episode.
Then Derek kind of goes a little quiet, gets a little bit possessed, and then confrontation! He freaking yells it. Yvette fucking legs it away from him, like, oh shit! And yeah, repeatedly, he says this repeatedly before saying, that's what you want. Then he throws a fucking lamp. Seriously, dude, what the fuck did the lamp do? Just fucking throw a lamp.
Oh, that's great.
He also warns that I will slit you. I'm like, wow, that's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. I will slit you. And then he comes back. After all that, he comes back to himself. He collapses to the floor and then he's like, oh, he's a bad one. He's a bad one. He's evil. He's evil.
Oh, God, that man could act. He was that the one where he was slumped down and he was even like a little bit drooling?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and he was just like, ooh, 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 and he was making all these faces. Oh, who's a bad one? Oh, Sam, help me. Get out.
See, this is me. As you're describing this confrontation, I'm excited by this. I'm like, yes, fucking fight me. And I just grab him by the shirt collar and headbutt him. Because that's the mental unit that I am when it comes to this.
He's possessed. He's not actually coming at you. Like, he's just standing there and with his eyes closed. Like,
I don't care about him because he's clearly a dickhead. So I if he's thinking that he's going to be possessed or something like that, I'm just like, I'll headbutt you and then you'll be unconscious. No more possession for us. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah, you're like, that's it.
Yeah, well, anyway, we're going to move on to my absolute favorite one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep. This one I fucking love. And I say it, actually, probably way too often.
I used to, yeah.
So this is about Godfrey Pucks. In this episode, they are at the Brannigan's nightclub when Derek tells the spirit to stop fiddling with his nose.
Yeah.
Actually, his words are, stop fiddling with my nose, you.
That's the cocaine talking.
And anyway, then he's holding his nose. Yeah. So then he's possessed by the spirit of Godfrey Pucks.
Yes.
Yeah. So Godfrey starts yelling, this belongs to me, which I say probably all too regularly.
Yes.
Godfrey Pucks.
I used to say that to my best friend Kaya. Like, we'd send each other messages. This belongs to me, Francis. And Francis was from another episode.
I feel like, Sarah, you have tried to stab me with a fork or some other implement and yelled, this belongs to me, when we were talking about a cheese platter. So
Probably.
Yeah. So he also complained that she hates my legs.
Yeah.
Now, no one really knows if it's she hates my legs or she's hurt my legs. It's kind of a bit muddled.
Yeah.
But he also does warn that I will damage you.
Fight me. Sorry.
Which I have to laugh because I really should have warned Amy about this before I pushed her off that fridge that time. I will damage you.
She really did. I mean, we went through it in the last episode, but she really did. There was my ex-housemate and I used to have this old fridge that what we used to do is we used to put it on its side and we used to fill it up with ice and we used to use it as an esky. And when you think about it logically, it actually makes a lot of sense. Sarah and I were sitting on it one night and I kept changing the tunes and she didn't like my choice of tunes, so she pushed me off the fucking fridge. It has damaged my knee to this day. Yeah. I actually can't lean down on that knee without it tingling weirdly. Yeah.
Amy's pushed me off like 50 different things.
I didn't damage our lives.
She probably damaged me more than I realized, but I damaged myself also, so.
And I even damaged you physically. Just
maybe mentally.
Yes, just mentally.
Yeah, that's just as bad. So, you know, fucking toughen up, bitch.
Your knee doesn't tingle when you kneel down. So shut up.
No, but my back goes when I kneel down.
That's anyway, my leg problem.
Yeah.
That sounds like a you problem. So.
But anyway, back to Godfrey Parks.
Yeah.
After he warns that he will damage them, he eventually will, he does go back into himself. Yeah. But again, I'm loving that. This belongs to me. But I'm just going to add for the record that Godfrey, any Godfrey, has not been found in relation to the nightclub's building.
Yeah.
In any record.
However, we know for a fact that it, like, spirits and things like that, if you buy into all of this stuff, which I do to a certain extent, just because somebody is not necessarily tied to a landmark or anything like that doesn't mean they're not there. We know that. But this guy sounds like he's full of shit. So.
Well, he claimed that Godfrey was meant to have died there.
In maybe a future episode coming up.
Oh, maybe a future episode. Maybe next week. I don't know.
There's no way to know. So, like, we have a spreadsheet or anything.
It's not like this is planned, like, 4 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
So. Amy's got problems. Anyway.
Amy's got problems. So,
my little bonus one is the Bodmin Ghoul, or jail.
Ghoul? No. What the fuck is that? Yeah,
they say it in different ways.
It's so, not it's never a ghoul. When has anybody ever said a ghoul?
I do. Yeah, other people do. I've heard it. Yeah, maybe mental.
Jail.
Anyway.
It's jail.
Anyway, season 6, episode 66. Derek, he becomes possessed by a spirit of a fictional South African prisoner, Creed Kaffer.
Yep.
So, parapsychologist Dr. I can't even remember how he say his name. I'm terrible with names. Kieran? I think it's Kieran. Okay.
I actually think that is the original spelling of Kieran.
Yeah, pretty sure it is. Now he was the parapsychologist for the first few seasons and he was really good. I enjoyed him being on the show.
Yeah, I like the parapsychologists. They're great.
Yeah. So he actually concocted this character and passed the name to a crew member who then walked Derek around the jail and drop the name in passing.
Yeah.
The name being an anagram for Derek Faker.
Yep.
So this wasn't the only anagram that has come out.
Yeah.
So the crew member told Derek that the information that he was being given was not to be used during filming as there was no sign of a Kiefer in the prison records.
Yeah.
So, Derek, during a Ouija board seance, decided, let's just use this fucking name. And he comes out with this name. And they're all like, no, Derek, don't let the spirit in. Yeah. Don't let this Kiefer in. Blah, blah, blah. And then it comes out.
I was playing along and I was killing myself laughing. Yep.
Yep. And it comes out that, yeah, that's a fake name.
Mm.
Sorry, been fully busted here. Not to mention the fact that in another episode, he's walked into a building and he's like, I'm getting the sense of machinery, like kind of like washing machines. He was sensing white goods, the spirits of white goods. Yes.
Yeah.
You can't sense that shit. Just saying.
I'm just going to call bullshit on the whole thing.
So anyway, this was Derek's last episode pretty much.
Yes,
he was then turned around and said, sorry, you're no longer coming back. He was pointed out as being fake, false information.
Yeah.
That's why. Anyway, he did
end up having his own show afterwards. But on a sad note, Derek actually passed away on the 3rd of January 2022 after a brief illness. I found that out.
Was it COVID?
No.
Is it COVID?
No, it was before COVID.
Yeah, well, COVID-19. So COVID actually, the whole point of the anagram of COVID is December 2019. So it could be COVID.
Yeah, nah, it wasn't COVID, or else it would have said COVID. It didn't actually tell you the exact cause. He just went into a coma. And yeah, so that was a little sad.
Why have you got VIP there?
Because as I was talking to my daughter, I thought of another show that I've watched that was pretty trashy. And I went, should have done that one. I haven't watched all of it. I've just watched like an episode here and there.
What's VIP?
You haven't watched VIP?
I've heard of it, but I actually just thought you meant RIP and you just
That's what I thought. And I thought you just meant one more death, RIP, but you've written VIP and I'm really confused over here.
Yeah, VIP was
the Pamela Anderson one?
No, yes. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought that was Barbed Wire.
That's the movie.
Oh.
Yeah. So VIP was the TV show.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was shit.
I watched it.
So
all of it, but I watched a lot of it. Yeah.
I've watched more episodes than I care to admit. And I've enjoyed more episodes than I care to admit.
That's the same with me and Baywatch, actually, when Bianca was talking about Son of the Beach. Yeah. I just realized how much I actually really loved Baywatch.
I have the box set of Baywatch, yeah.
Oh, I kind of loved it.
I forgot all about Baywatch, but I went VIP. Yeah, but you know what? It is really shit. And it's got that guy from Sequest DSV in it. And I'm like, oh, this is so shit. But I love that guy from Sequest.
I also love Sequest DSV. That was kind of trash too. So, you know.
God, that was such a good show. As I'm also sitting here, I've realised there's another show that I've currently been watching called Virgin Creek, which is on Netflix. That's pretty trashy.
Please tell me about Virgin Creek right now.
Of all the things I fucking told you to watch, you're watching Virgin Creek. Oh, my God. Like,
what even is it?
So she's...
I've never heard of it.
She's a nurse. She's a nurse that lost her husband. He died. And she's taken a job in a little town called Virgin Creek out in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. So... as she's kind of just bought up, she sold up her house over in the city, and she bought this cute little cabin on the picture, and then she gets there, and then the cabin's a fucking rundown mess with fucking bird nests.
Plot of Heart of Dixie, which has been done.
It's also the plot of several other fucking shows.
Yeah, it really is.
Shit. Different day.
Different time period. It's really is. And, you know, she meets the bar owner and he's kind of cute. And, so I've been watching that.
After all the trash I just said I loved and I'm groaning at this. Why?
Yes. because it's me that's watching it.
No, you are the trash queen of the group.
I was going to talk about Vampire Diaries and like Secret Life of American Teenager.
And True Blood.
Love True Blood.
Yeah, but that's because you're trash too.
I am trash.
Yeah.
I also am trash. Yeah.
Maybe we should round this episode out. Okay.
Yeah, I think we should.
Let's do this. So, I actually want to do a special shout out from the three of us. I think we should have a collective discussion about daytime talk shows. None of us went there. We all love them and they were trash. Ricky Lake. Yes. Sally, I love Ricky Jesse, Lake. Jerry Springer.
Steve Sherridge.
Jenny Jones. Yeah.
Maury.
Yep. Loved it.
I can't remember what Steve's show is called, but I'm just going to call it Steve and I love it.
literally to everybody who went into producing those shows and like presenting them, basically everybody involved, we salute you, because during our university times, our TAFE times, everything in between, this is what we survived off. I know you got a lot of heat from a lot of crap that came afterwards. Yeah. And there is a lot of that, like there's a Netflix special at the moment about a Jenny Jones murder that was pretty horrific.
Yeah.
I'm not discounting that. And I'm not saying that we should be, you know, saying that this is all fantastic. It's not. But still, you got us through some dark times where we had no money for other entertainment. So thank
and
you.
And it's yeah, funny. It's you. Funny. Yeah.
Can I just also do a special shout out to the Brazilian Point of View podcast? They're available on Spotify and pretty much everywhere else that you get your podcast from. I was lucky enough to be interviewed by their beautiful host, Anna, about the culture in Australia and a few different things that you will hear about if you listen to the podcast, which will be out fairly soon.
Ooh, if you can get a trailer, get it to me and I'll pop it in this episode.
If you can do your shit like I fucking asked you to, it will be fine.
I've had too much gin and this is how I talk now.
That's okay, because when I was editing the last episode, Sarah was doing the clapping. Oh,
she loves to do the clapping.
Oh, fuck. Clapping. I don't remember that. I apologize.
I remember that.
Sarah, remember the clapping.
Sarah had too much to drink last week.
That was like the episode I edited and bang her disc.
But seriously, check out the New Point of View podcast. It is really, really good. The gorgeous host, Anna, actually really makes an amazing effort to interview lots of people from all over the world and talk about how things are going around the world. If you're thinking about, well, like, how are they dealing with things right now in this particular part of the world? Trust me, Anna has covered it. She will answer all your questions. Definitely listen to her podcast, The Brazilian Point of View.
I am so looking forward to listening to your episode.
Yeah. Definitely.
Do it.
All right. So I had fun researching this topic.
Is this supposed to be me?
Yes.
Okay. I had so much fun researching this topic. I don't know whether it was supposed to be me or not. Anyway,
I don't know. We just jump in. Who knows?
Who knows anymore?
No way to know anymore.
Who knows? Anyway, I had
podcast magic.
I had so much fun researching this topic. As I did with all of the other topics, seriously, guys, I really enjoyed researching some of these things. However, they've come from our own brains, and they don't span very far.
No, we are trash. We have said that several times. So.
Yeah, we're trash and we're drunk.
Yeah.
So, help us. Yes. We would love some topic suggestions from our listeners. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. Hit us up on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Yes, TikTok. TikTok's in there. Apparently yes. I'm doing that now.
Oh my God, you are.
That's a thing. To everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our utter garbage. Yes. Yes. But that's okay, because that's part of the theme of this week's episode. We hope that you have found it entertaining and you're not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives. However, as a caveat from that, I would definitely say watch Passions, watch Son of the Beach, and watch Most Haunted. Definitely do those things. Yeah. Don't watch Toddlers and Tiaras and Extreme Couponing, because I don't know how, like, your level of trash goes. Like, ours is pretty high, so maybe just watch those three and see how you go. Anyway, we would definitely endorse the retention, purchase, and use of a petition chainsaw, Because if you watch trash TV, you will understand that this is the sort of purchase that you need in your daily lives. You know why? Because fuck knows. No one fucking knows. Just get one. It's fine. Yeah.
Exactly. You may need to destroy your TV at some point.
That's what trash TV is all about, people. So with that, I say... Okay.